We are in our 7 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Zero Res Smart Lasting Clean. We have an early edition of the wake up call that needs to happen right now. It is
myself.
I want to shout out to listener that boy Dizzy for asking me about the AP poll that I just read. Turns out it was a different poll. It was like a from the publication I was reading, it was their own poll. So the actual AP poll, I'll just run through the top five again.
Oh, I was commenting on the AP poll.
I was, you
were. I said, yeah, Georgia at 2 and LSU at 8.
Yeah,
that's. I didn't even hear.
Yeah, yeah.
You.
No, it's one of those things where I'm reading the same thing as I'm reading the AP poll, and then I kind of caught the end. I think he said Georgia at 5, and I was like, yeah, Georgia at 2 seems like a runaway train.
I just want to make sure everybody's on their toes. That's all. Oregon at 1, Georgia 2, Penn State 4, Ohio State, or Penn State 3, Ohio State 4, and Texas 5. So I'm going to stop there because, yeah, I quit. So anyway, let's bring you back to the present.
Okay, that makes sense of why someone's like, why Jacob is hitting me up on Twitter like, ESPN has Georgia at 2, and I'm like, yeah, the AP does. Yeah, and then he sends me the AP poll, and I go, yeah, that's what I was talking about. Now it makes sense.
Now you know. You don't have to go to a Twitter war. See, I caused a fight, and I didn't even mean to do it just because.
You out here.
I have not completed a cup of coffee yet, and that seems to be the root of most of my problems the morning. So
we're going to need you to chug coffee, ride the Peloton, whatever you got to do so you read the right poll.
That's, so I just want to make sure you guys are out there really listening. So back to the Falcons.
You didn't realize it was sports trivia with Tiffany.
Bucks. Sports. That's what my girlfriends say that don't follow.
Jeez.
Yay, sports. I'm going to get one of those sweatshirts. All right, Falcons and Buccaneers, big matchup on Sunday. We went through some of the injuries that are going on with the Buccaneers team stemming from Monday Night Football. We saw Mike Evans go down with a hamstring. Unfortunately, they lose Chris Godwin, who had a severe ankle injury, a dislocated ankle. So, again, he's probably out for Sunday. We're not sure what the stats will be for Evans. Vita Vea, though, coming into that game, also dealing with a hamstring injury, but he did play.
Yeah. I'm curious to get you guys' take. I know there's been a couple of articles. I think CBS had one. ESPN, it was kind of the headline as far as the Chris Godwin goes. It's like a lot of people looking past kind of the Baltimore win last night in this game and just saying, should Chris Godwin have been playing at this point in the game? I don't have a problem with it. It's a 10-point game at that point. I understand kind of some of the hesitations with it, but I think they're thinking if they can get a quick strike and maybe get an onside, which they already had at that point. But I know that Buccaneers fans are frustrated with the fact that with a minute left in a 10-point game, you now lose one of your best players. I didn't have a problem with it. I don't know how you guys felt.
I'm a little bit torn on it because they had it. Baltimore pulls their starters offensively, and they left their starters in defensively because Tampa had their starters in. That's why Roquan was in there. He's the one that made the tackle on Chris Godwin, not intentionally to hurt him. He just made the tackle, and it just kind of happened. So I'm a little torn on it because it felt a little garbage time-ish with at the fact that it was like 41 to, I think, 10 or 18 or something at one point.
Yeah.
And you kind of got a few touchdowns that were just, again, you felt like they were just kind of playing off and you had called off the dogs offensively. But if you think you can win as a head coach and you know the importance of the game because you win that game, you're in first place in the division instead of a tie that you're actually out of with the tiebreaker currently, then I don't have a problem with it. It is definitely up for question considering it was at one point 41 to 18. So it's definitely up for a question because you've already lost Mike Evans. Do you need Chris Godwin in there to score against a prevent defense and move the ball?
I'm also curious what their depth chart looked like during the game. I mentioned it, some of their depth pieces at wide receiver were out last night, and you're also out Mike Evans. I don't even know that in the time that, what that wide receiver room looks like given that point in the game. Not saying you're wrong. I understand where you're coming from, but they just recovered an onside kick. They're 10 points down. There's a minute left. If you can get Chris Godwin to maybe break free right there, maybe you do it again getting field goal range. You're not that far out of the realm of possibility at that point.
But they came in as healthy as they've been at wide receiver because when we played them, Trey Palmer and Jalen McMillan, two guys that they want up and that are going to get time in their system with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin healthy or not, were on the field, were playing last night, and they were down when we played them. So they had to elevate Sterling Shepard from the practice squad when we played them. So I think they felt better about their wide receiver room going into the game last night. But then Mike Evans obviously aggravates that hamstring, and then the unfortunate injury to Chris Godwin. I mean, I just see it an opportunity here for us defensively to maybe play coverage different and maybe help generate some more pass rush with two, let's just, I don't know how to put it, big play threats out of the game. Now, Joe McMillan can stretch the field himself, but he hasn't yet to this point.
So if you're looking at the other side of the ball, what are the possibilities of Vita Vea somehow isn't able to go? He was dealing with the hamstring going into Monday Night Football. He did play in the game. We'll have to learn more about what his status is the rest of the week. But again, he's a big, big component of the Bucs defense. So Coach Raheem Morris talked to Dave Archer on the Coach's Show about how they can try to stop him.
You know, we joked the other day when we had that mix-up, and Bijan almost passed him by thinking, no way I got this guy, and he did not. So, you know, no matter how many times you see that, he's not responsible for him. But Bijan was thinking the same thing. But, you know, Vita is one of those guys you got a game for. You got a game plan for. You got to get hands on him across the board. You got to make sure he's double-teamed when you can. He's powerful. He's strong. He can play the run. He can play the pass. And we don't need him crawling on us again. You know, he's a very good player that can make a lot of plays. And we got to find a way to limit his effectiveness on the game, no matter what he's doing.
Hey, we actually talked about that play the Friday after the game.
Yep.
Because, Tiff, I don't know if you remember the play, but Vita Vea is, it's almost like some type of kind of little stunt with him. And McGarry and Lindstrom just let him go. And Bijan's like, that's one of those, oh, blank, because that's 300 and what, 50 pounds?
Yeah, what happened is, and actually this defense has kind of popped up a little bit, the double A gap mugs. I know a lot of Georgia fans paid attention because they did this a number of times against Texas the other night with the linebackers walking up in the A gap. And as a lineman, one of the first things you're always supposed to do is protect the A gap. Well, Tampa, knowing that, you know, what Atlanta was going to try to do when Chris Lindstrom is like, I'm going to protect the A gap. I don't want to, you know, ask the running back to step up in front of the A gap all the time. They put Vita Vea in the B gap. They're like, hey, if Chris Lindstrom's going to block the A gap when we walk up the double A gap mug, let's get Bijan on Vita Vea, and it's good. And we've said this a number of times, both of us. Bijan's the best blitz pickup running back in the NFL right now, in my opinion. But he ain't blocking Vita Vea. I mean, that's a dude that literally weighs twice as much as him.
Well, as it turns out, Lindstrom and McGarry and Neusel and Bergeron, they all have trouble blocking Vita Vea.
I would be curious, and I know this is going way too deep in the I would be curious to know at what level the mistake was. Is it a scheme thing? Is it a game plan? Is it a simple miscommunication between O-line coach and Zach Robinson? Is it like, because that happens. I mean, people don't understand. That happens. That happens all the time where you're like, man, they got us there. How can we fix that?
Could it be simple as, miscommunication at the line of scrimmage where maybe something was switched? An assignment was switched with a blocking assignment and someone just missed it?
It could be. It didn't. That play to me did not look like that. It looked like a rule that you fall back to and fall back to and fall back to, or maybe McGarry is supposed to add into the B gap at some point, but sometimes they're not. Like a rule you fall back to, and then when you realize, I mean, the worst case scenario, if you have that rule in place, is for a 350 whatever pound Vita Vea to be in the B gap against Bijan. Like, that's the worst possible thing that can happen.
If we don't know where Bergeron, what his health is at this point, he went out with a neck, he didn't come back, neck injury. I am worried with that guy in the middle, with Neusel, and if it's Kyle Hinton or Matt Hennessy or Elijah Wilkinson. I think Bergeron has really, really progressed into a good player. And it's not a knock on any of those guys. I just think there's a reason why Bergeron's a starter, because I think he's better. It worries me that with Vita Vea, because he can make things rough in the run game and the pass game.
Yeah, I feel like, to your point, that as far as the run game goes, this has to be your best game plan. Like, you have to put your best game plan forth if you are going to have to run with Kyle Hinton at left guard. And now, granted, we talked about it in the postgame. Kyle Hinton has made numerous starts in Atlanta Falcons uniform. Started right guard for, what, 3 games last year? Maybe even more than that. He's a serviceable player. It was curious to me to see Matt Hennessy be put at center but not left guard during the game. That was kind of interesting to me. Matt Hennessy was going into camp last year. You're starting left guard for the Atlanta Falcons and has started numerous games there. So that was kind of curious. But I will just say, I think Kyle Hinton's a good player. I think Zach Robinson has to help them out. If that's what you're going to go with, backup left guard and what is backup center, you're going to have to do some things. And I don't know if it's like a wham blocking scheme or if Charlie Warner is able to insert himself there, or maybe you can just, I don't know, get him tired. But at some point, you're going to have to help.
Double team him.
Well, and that's easier said than done, because a lot of times double teams, you got to come off of the linebacker. He does a nice job of folding back into the play off the double teams. Sometimes for guys like that, it's better left just putting them on an island against a guy and then just saying, hey, let's create some space and see if you can move laterally fast enough to be able to do that. So I think they've got to be able to help him out, to your point, if Kyle Hinton's going to be the guy at left guard for sure.
This hour brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. It is week 8 now of the NFL season, and the injuries have been piling up. Some superstars will be missing in action this weekend. We're going in the huddle next on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I see you still haven't kicked your little habit over there.
Oh, you mean Mio?
I mean, I'm not trying to call you out, even though I just did.
I love how you don't call people out. I'm not trying to call you out, but you have a problem.
It's not a call out. It's a cause for concern. A cry for concern.
I
think we've all got our vices. I do not do the whole Mio thing, but I think there's worse things to have. As y'all search my table for my diet Mountain Dew, yes.
I probably need to get my butt to the doctor and get a physical. I've still not done that since I turned 40.
Man, that's a
lot. Put on a little bit of weight since the last 6 months. I don't know what's going on with me.
Maybe you should go get it checked out.
Yeah, maybe.
It's called turning 40.
Or maybe I'll just start exercising more and eating less.
It's also part of, with the wife being pregnant, they say that the husbands tend to...
The sympathy weight.
Yeah.
Yeah, the sympathy weight, man.
But I don't feel like I'm eating more.
I asked him if that's what it was. He said, no, man, not sympathy weight.
Because I'm not eating more. Like, I'm not eating... Now, granted...
Maybe you're not eating enough. You will...
I doubt that's the issue.
No, if you're not eating enough, you will hold on to fat. Eventually, I think you'll get skinny fat. But anyway, that's another topic.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny? Hold on. The two people that have said the word skinny fat... That have said that to me, have called me skinny fat. One is you.
I didn't call you skinny
fat. You just did.
Yeah,
you just did.
No, I did not.
Yeah, you just did. Yeah, that's what I tell you. David Pollack did it too.
Oh, yeah.
You and David Pollack.
I didn't call you skinny fat.
Did you feel that way, Mike? I kind of felt like
that. It seemed like it was being alluded to.
No, I would never talk about your physical appearance. You were talking about it.
I'm okay if you talk about my physical appearance.
No, you said you got fat. Never mind.
Other people around here do, apparently.
I mean, I only talk about your height, but everybody else does.
Well,
it's okay, right?
Yeah, you know, but you know what?
Everybody else is doing it.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'8".
As a female. I'm okay with a 5'8 female talking about me being only 5'8 and a half. I'm not okay with a guy that's, you know, 5'8 looks like a nose tackle talking about it.
Let's go in the huddle. I have no idea who you're talking about.
Okay.
Now this is a call out.
They know who they are.
Anyway, all right. We did talk a lot about the Bucks.
They're not awake.
And their injuries with Mike Evans and the hamstring going down in their game on Monday Night Football against the Ravens last night, as well as Chris Godwin, who suffered dislocated ankle. Two severe injuries for that squad.
We've talked about their injuries a little bit and talked about their matchup coming this weekend. Can we just take 1 minute and give flowers to the Baltimore Ravens and how freaking good they are? My goodness. They go down, 10-0? I mean, it just felt inevitable.
The addition of Derrick Henry has taken that.
He's on pace to set the rushing record.
Another level.
But
yes,
you know what's crazy? First off, they're on the heater. If they were in Vegas, this would be called a heater crazy. Because they were 0-2 and they've just rolled off 5 straight. You brought up Derrick Henry. He essentially came in last night the same way John Smoltz used to when he was a closer. Like they might as well play Thunderstruck at the stadium because dude had, I think, like something like seven carries for maybe 20 yards. And then he comes in the fourth quarter, boom, 81, right off the bat. And he.
On one play, yeah.
He is so nimble in his. He makes a move, like a little jump cut. Not even really a jump cut, just kind of a slide cut. And then he was full speed like that.
The one thing I miss that we have not seen him do with the Ravens yet is throw a touchdown pass. And I got to talk to him a lot about that because he did that with the Titans a few times. Kind of the jump pass, kind of like the Tebow thing that we saw in the past. But he is like the LeBron James in the NFL in terms of taking care of your body. There was a great piece that they aired ahead of the game. Like, I mean, and his off-season program is just ridiculous, the amount that he puts into taking care of himself.
If and when the aliens come, he will be the only person that we send because he's the only person worthy of it.
I'm telling you,
maybe
I've
been Julio
on that boat for a while.
If Julio still looks like Julio did in his prime,
Julio probably does. Knowing Julio,
and he could probably one route, right?
I think he could probably dust just about every corner in the league right now on a go route, and I don't even know the last time he ran one, but he can still do it. No, I'm with you. Can we take this narrative, though, and flush it? I'm tired of people being like, Dallas should have signed him. Derrick Henry's not doing what he does right now unless he's with Baltimore. Because I think saying that about Dallas takes away everything else that's wrong with Dallas right now and acts like Derrick Henry would fix it. They can't block. They're playing soft. They can't play defense. Dak's not playing very well. If I'm Derrick Henry, I'm looking at it going, boy, I made a good decision on that one. I would have taken a pay cut to go to Baltimore at that point. So Baltimore is perfect fit for Derrick Henry, the way they block, the way they run things. I think it's a beautiful thing.
Well, the other big news that came out yesterday was Tua and the Miami Dolphins. So the team has designated him to return from IR. He is on track to play week 8 against the Cardinals. And he actually addressed the media yesterday. There's been a lot of talk, as you all know, over the past few weeks since his last concussion happened about whether or not he should hang it up and walk away from the game. Here's Tua about how he appreciates all the concern.
Yeah, it's a little. It sounds a little
morbid,
extreme,
Tua.
But look, if Tua wants to play, then that's his decision, and
him and his family.
I think there are a lot of people that want to tell him not to play, and they don't really care if he plays or not. They just think that that's the right thing to say, so they're going to say it publicly. If Tua wants to play, he should play. I don't know. I have no clue. What I would do as a person that loved, now I didn't play, but as a person that loves the game, Mike, you've had to make decisions about health. And I think you probably had the perspective that people want to hear, but I just don't think people should tell someone what to do.
I got to tell you, man, and obviously the head injuries are a lot different because the effects of mine, and this has actually played out very recently for me. I got to a point where I'd had 3 surgeries in a matter of 4 years and it had very bad injuries. Like some of them considered career enders, and I had like 3 of them, right? I had 2 Lisfrancs, which are hard to get over. And I remember thinking to myself, I want to be able to play with my kids one day in the backyard. And I, like 2 weeks ago, I was doing it, and I was running around, and I thought, I still have a little hitch in the giddy-up. You know what I mean? My son's like, Daddy, look how fast I am. And I'm trying to catch him, and I'm like, man, I'm not quite as fleet of foot as I once was. But nonetheless, I don't regret that decision at all. Like I did not want to continue to try to scratch and claw and pick on a practice squad and do all these other things. Tua's with the head injuries different. I know that he has probably seen a dozen doctors about this. And I think that there is a misnomer a little bit about the head injuries in terms of the CTE and other things going on. I think that I would trust a guy like that who has probably done as much research possible and with that organization. I will say this, though. He's my favorite college football player of all time. And I am going to have issue for the time being actually watching him in a Miami uniform, because I'm going to be scared every time somebody gets around him or he tries to break free of the pocket. That's just how I'm going to feel. It is what it is. So I'm hoping for the best for him, but to your point, in the end, it's a personal decision, and hopefully he's making the best one for him.
So he still needs to clear concussion protocol in order to play in that Week 8 game. And, of course, Week 8 marks the earliest time that he could return from the IR window. But the Dolphins, they opened his 21-day practice window. Now, when asked if he will be wearing a Guardian cap when he comes back, here's what Tua had to say.
Well, the Guardian cap is not liked by a lot of players. I do.
Lord knows we talked to all of them during training camp.
Yeah.
I'm
pretty sure it was Luke Gedeke last night for Tampa Bay that was wearing it. And I think he was a miss. I think he missed the Falcons game after not clearing concussion protocol yet. Ed Reed had some interesting comments, I should say, where I don't think he understood necessarily what the research that's going in the Guardian cap, but he made some boxing references, which is, I think, is a fair analogy in some ways, because we don't ever care about boxers getting CTE or UFC fighters, not to the extent we do football players.
This is the thing.
A little bit
this
different.
Is the thing. As
is it?
You expect it.
Yeah.
You expect it with that because there's not the helmets, right? And I'm not saying helmets. Clearly, they do not eliminate everything, and they're trying to take steps towards having helmets, like the Guardian cap help to protect you. But when you step into the ring, you kind of know what's at risk, right? You're not wearing anything to protect yourself, and someone's knuckles, someone's fist is coming at you as hard as they can possibly hit you.
Yeah, but
I'm not saying people don't care, but people, I think people just expect that that is what comes with the territory when you're boxing with nothing to protect.
And
you.
I would tell you I think there are a lot of people, I'm not saying me, but I think there are a lot of people out there that view football as the exact same thing, that it's a contact sport. And when you walk out there, you know the risk. I think that's what a lot of people think. I think there's the league should do everything they can to protect the players within reason.
I agree that people think that too when you go to play football. What I'm saying is you're not wearing any sort of equipment when you step out there to box other than gloves and maybe like the little bit of padding of the headgear.
So we also talk about the repetitive nature that's really the worst part of football, getting hit play after play. I think a lot of people kind of look over that in terms of boxing, because it's like, what do you box a big match like once every 6 months?
Yeah, but you also train, and I'm going to tell you something.
I agree, you're probably wearing headgear in the train.
Yeah, but you still take shots, and it's not just shots to the side. I mean, there's shots everywhere that you can take in training.
I'm not saying they're not at risk. I'm just simply saying that's why more people aren't paying attention to it, is kind of the question that we started with.
That's all. Okay. This hour brought to you by Zero Res. Smart, lasting, clean. We'll get you caught up in Atlanta United, because there was that 10% chance that they were going to get into the playoffs, and they did. We'll give you a preview of their matchup, and we also have a mic'd up.
Yeah, we got mic'd up. We're going to dive back into college football, some of the craziness going around, the cannibalism at the top of the SEC, and also the Minister of Culture has issued a statement. We'll talk about that coming up next. It's mic'd up. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
I love my guys at Atlanta United. But hey, Winkler, Chris Winkler, you're my dude. You're probably not listening because you're in Montreal eating poutine or whatever they call it. But maybe don't put Brad to talk next to a dump truck or a garbage truck.
I'm going to act like that's their equipment truck.
You said poutine. It's,
isn't that what they call it?
I know. You just put the heavy emphasis on
the poo.
Poo.
I said teen.
Is that what Mike Conti was eating?
That's what he was eating, yeah.
I wondered what that was in his picture, man. I was like, yeah, the plate on the left looks fine. The one on the right, I got questions.
Poutine.
Yeah. No, I think it's awesome. We got a chance to talk to Brad. What was that, last week or 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago.
Yeah. And I love his message. I love his words. And, this is a team who has had to fight a ton of adversity dating back to a couple of weeks ago when they played Montreal, right?
Oh, yeah, and Joseph scored 2 goals.
Yeah, and Joseph kind of made the comment afterwards, sad to see that this team's, not making the run and the environment's not what it is, and yet they go and win 2 back-to-back road games for the first time in a few months able to put that together and find themselves back here in the playoffs.
Number one rule of being in a radio booth, if there's the call that mentions food about somewhere you're going to go, then you have to go there and post a picture on social media of food. That's how you know that the Conti was eating the poutine, or however you wanted me to pronounce
it. It was just funny.
Poutine.
Apparently only you and I are entertained.
Well.
It's just the emphasis on the poutine.
It's just, you know what? As long as we can entertain ourselves, you know,
all that matters.
We're good.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we disgruntled Mike.
I know.
I don't know. Honestly, don't know how to say it. So I'm like scratching.
I thought that's how you say it.
Well.
It is.
How
it's
do
just,
you say
it's
it?
Just, it's just funny that you. It's just funny how you
Tiff?
Say it. Poutine. But it's just
poutine.
It's just
poutine.
Poutine.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know.
Resident Dad doesn't like us very much. It's all right.
Resident Dad doesn't what?
Like us very much.
I just don't know how to say it, so I don't know what the joke is. Like, I thought he was saying it right.
Because it sounds like
it
poo.
It sounds like poo.
Oh, I got you.
She thinks I put more emphasis on the poo than it should have been there.
I guess I don't know. Maybe I just have bad sense of
humor. I guess you can call in at Wake Up Call and tell us how you say poutine.
Yeah, maybe so.
Maybe never want to eat it again.
Are you going to hit Mike Duff?
Man, I thought we were talking about the United game.
I don't know.
Let's hit a Mike Duff. I kept trying. Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about that college football. Let's not like talk about that poo-poo teen like Bo was just talking about a minute ago. College football, I think one of the things we have to talk about, guys, these SEC standings. We mentioned earlier LSU facing off with A&M this week. I know it sounds crazy. They are the teams that are leading the SEC right now. And my question then comes from that. Is the SEC cannibalizing itself? Because those are two teams that suffered massive early season non-conference losses. And the fact that they are making it all the way through and making a name for themselves in the SEC, LSU with the loss to USC, who is not a very good team right now, and obviously Texas A&M with the loss to Notre Dame, who would flip around and lose to what, Northern Illinois a week or two later. So my question then becomes, who's playing the SEC title game? After Georgia cannibalizes Texas at one, obviously, Georgia got knocked off by Bama. Bama's not going to be able to make that run, it doesn't seem like, after a huge loss to Tennessee this past weekend. My overall sentiment, before I get to this statement from Matthew McConaughey about the SEC guys, is I don't know who's good. I have no idea. And maybe you guys can give me some insight. Georgia looks like I said earlier, at two, they seem like a runaway train. The word I'm going to use for Georgia right now, inevitable. Inevitable, it feels like. But nonetheless, you're still looking at LSU, Texas A&M leading the way.
Well, I think you're counting out Florida because they're sitting here at 4-3, but they're only 2-2 in the conference, and
so
they
you're back on your bandwagon.
No, I've never been off. Their losses are against A&M and Tennessee, who are both combined 7-1 in the conference. A&M actually leading it. You mentioned, but what's going to happen is when Florida beats Georgia and then Texas. And then LSU, and then Ole Miss, and back-to-back-to-back-to-back games in November, they're going to be headed to Atlanta.
Is that what it is? You know what's a hard – and I had this conversation yesterday with a friend of mine.
Delusional.
The question of who are the best two teams in the SEC, because I think Georgia's the best team in the SEC right now.
I would agree with that.
Who are the best two teams in the SEC? You know what question might be harder to answer? Who's the worst two teams in the SEC?
South Carolina
– just goes off against Oklahoma the other day. They look like a serviceable team. 2-point loss to Alabama a couple of weeks ago. Vanderbilt, usually the doormat, not them. Kentucky seems serviceable, right? I mean, all these teams other than Mississippi State, which I think Mississippi State's getting better. I'm not sure who's even the two worst teams in the SEC.
I would say that the two teams that have been consistently the worst throughout the entire season would be Miss State and Auburn. Now, I think they're both better than their records say. Because I think Miss State has gotten better through the season, and they have not quit at all. And Auburn is the ultimate we can't get out of our own way team. They self-destruct like they did against Missouri, where Brady Cook goes to the hospital, decides to come. I don't know if he decides, but checks out and says, Hey, I'm going to come back, and we're gonna beat Auburn, and yeah. That's what happened. So, I would say those two teams have been consistently the worst throughout the season.
Yeah. All right. I want to get to this comment made by Matthew McConaughey. First, a question: if I put $20 on line, do you think either one of y'all could spell McConaughey correctly? Just throwing that out there. McConaughey. Take a
Absolutely
jab at it, Tiff.
Not.
Take a jab at it.
Capital M, lowercase c. Capital C. I'm already wrong.
No, you're going. You're good.
O, N, E.
No.
Okay, can I pick up where she left off?
Go ahead.
O N A.
M C C O N A U G H E Y.
That's correct. Are you looking on your computer?
Yeah.
No.
You
look
it up.
Look.
Dude, I tried to type it in earlier.
Hold on. No, that's not fair. Now, I know I looked up words on One Word Wednesday, but I didn't even touch my computer.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm a good speller.
You
hurt.
I want a spelling bee one time.
Let me read this really quick.
Hurt me, man.
I love this guy.
Skinny fat.
I did not call you skinny fat, I swear.
I'm going to be able to talk about this at some point. I don't know what I have to do.
to get
Matthew McConaughey's word selection, but it's so good. Right? This is the reason people love him narrating things. I actually tried to listen to his audiobook and I couldn't because it was just all adjectives and adverbs. Like the whole thing, that's what it was. First off, you were electric Saturday night when we hosted Georgia. Bravo. Let's continue to bring it. Even though our horns didn't get the W, you created a measurable home field advantage. But let's get real about the bottle bombing on the field glitch we had. Not cool. Bogey move, man. Yeah, that call was BS, but we're better than that. Longhorn Nation knows how to show up, show out like no other, and still keep our class. He goes on from there. But
that.
I love the bogey move and the bottle bombing comment, man. It's so good out of him. Feels like I'm watching some kind of cologne commercial listening to this guy talk about college football. The Minister of Culture, Matthew McConaughey, has spoken.
Yeah, I just need him talking about more Lincoln Town Cars, yeah. Personally.
Oh, my goodness.
It's, no, he's not. Right. Is he Lincoln?
I think so, because he's a Lincoln lawyer, and he has a Lincoln car.
Sure, why not? Guy. Hey, when we come back here, it will be time for the wake-up call. If you want to weigh in on what the Falcons can do to solve their pass rush woes, you can do just that by calling us at 404-726-0929. The wake-up call is next here on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 929 The Game.